This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. From Abadu, my brothers and sisters, at the risk of repeating myself, I think it is essential that this issue, that we speak about it a little more, to ensure that it is completely and totally understood. Please understand, I'm not trying to force you to believe this or that. I'm giving you evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah about what Islam says about these matters, which are matters of Al-Ghaib. Al-Ghaib is not the unseen. The Al-Ghaib is the unperceivable. What is unseen can be seen. What is unseen today can be seen tomorrow. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He revealed the ayat relating to, for example, embryology at the time of revelation, this was unseen. But today we see all that. We know we all, none of that is ghaib. Everything is bil mushahida. So, al-ghaib is something which is not only unperceivable in any form, unseen, unheard, unsmelt, unfelt, whatever today, but it is also going to remain that way forever and ever until the day of judgment is established. This is Al-Ghaib. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself, what Allah is like, we will see inshallah on the day of judgment, to the extent that He permits it, but today, unperceivable, Al-Ghaib. The throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Ghaib, the Kursi, Al-Ghaib, the conditions of the Day of Judgment, Al-Ghaib, the Jannah, Al-Ghaib, Jahannam, Al-Ghaib, all the details regarding all of these things are Al-Ghaib, they are unperceivable, cannot be seen, no matter what technology does, no matter how intelligent we think we become, no matter how many discoveries we think we make, none of these will ever be perceivable by human beings while they still breathe and live and breathe. In the same way, what happens in the qabr, and as I mentioned to you before, we say the al-qabr is a figure of speech. It refers to the actual grave, meaning if you are buried, but it also refers to, but it actually refers to al-alamul barzakh, the world and the state of being that we will be transferred into once we die, no matter how we die. So a person, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it among us, who dies shaheed fi sabilillah, or who dies in salah, who dies in the haram, who dies in sujood, who dies in all the beautiful ways, will go to al-barzakh. The person who dies in the opposite of all that, while committing shirk, while committing kufr, while committing murder, while committing all kinds of sins, will also go to alam al-barzakh. A person who is buried whole, properly, after Salatul Janaz, after Ghusl, Kafan, Salatul Janaz, all of that, the details of all that will go to Alam al-Barzakh. A person who falls into the ocean and he is eaten up by 25 sharks and he is, bits and pieces of him are in the bellies of all those sharks, will also go to Alam al-Barzakh. A person, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that, a person who gets vaporized in an atomic explosion, also goes to Alam al-Barzakh. No matter how you die, we all go to Alam al-Barzakh. The way we die are only different ways of getting there, that is all. But everybody goes. The best of us goes to Alam al-Barzakh, the worst of us goes to Alam al-Barzakh, just as the best of us was born into this life from the Alam al-Arwah, the life before this, when we were all in the world of the souls, and from there we were sent into this world through our mothers. The best of us came from his mother or her mother, and the worst of us came from his mother or her mother. There is no one who comes in any other way. Illa mashallah, the only one who came into this world without a father and mother was Adam alayhi salam. The one who came into this world through the means of a man was Hawa alayhi salam, his wife. And our mother Hawa alayhi salam was created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created her from Adam alayhi salam's body, from his rib. Other than that, including Isa alayhi salam, came through this world through his mother. This is the immutable law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, we will all go to Alam Barzakh. Therefore, death, and Barzakh is, it's called Barzakh because it's a wall, because once you have gone behind it, there is no communication with this world, illa mashallah, nothing that anyone can do for anyone else here. I mentioned the details of all this in the last session, so I will not repeat that here. So the issue, therefore, is not of life or death. It is the ability to do something or not do something. To Urdu mein kehte hain ke maut khatime ka naam nahi hai, khatam hone ka, zindagi ke khatam hone ka naam nahi hai, kyunki zindagi khatam nahi hoti. Zindagi to sirf ek hal se dusre hal mein tabdil hoti hai, منتقل ہوتی ہے. اسی لیے موت کو ہم اردو میں انتقال کہتے ہیں, منتقل ہونا اس دنیا سے اس دنیا میں, عالم الشہادہ سے عالم البرزخ میں. اختتام کس کا ہوتا ہے؟ اختتام زندگی کا نہیں ہوتا, اختتام کس کا ہوتا ہے؟ اختتام اختیار کا ہوتا ہے. جب تک کہ انسان اس زندگی میں زندہ ہے, اس کے ہاتھ میں اختیار اللہ نے دیا ہے, اور وہ اختیار بھی محدود دیا ہے, غیر محدود اختیار نہیں دیا ہے. مگر وہ محدود اختیار بھی جب موت آتی ہے تو ختم ہو جاتا ہے, اس کے بعد میں اس کے ہاتھ میں کوئی چیز نہیں. تو اختیار کے ختم ہونے کا نام موت ہے, زندگی کے ختم ہونے کا نام موت نہیں, کیونکہ زندگی ختم نہیں ہوتی. Now translation of all that in English is that death is not the cessation of life but the cessation of the ability to do anything, the cessation of choice. In this life, as long as we are alive, we have been given limited choice. There again, it's not unlimited choice. We cannot do anything we want. For example, if I eat something, I cannot decree whether this thing will harm me or benefit me. It will do what has been written for me. But I have the choice to eat or not to eat. Right? So therefore, I have some limited choice in this life. But when I die, therefore, it is not as death is not the name of cessation of life, but the cessation of choice. Once I die, I will no longer have the choice to do this or that. If I die without salah in my grave, I will not have the choice to pray. If I die on sin and on disobedience and on rebelliousness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my grave, I will not have the choice to change that and say, I am making tawbah now. No. Once death comes, all choice is over. So, we need to remember this. And therefore, when people say that they are going to some grave and they are asking that person in the grave who was a great person, who was a very holy person, pious person, a prophet, including Rasulullah himself, and they say that I am asking him and he is alive, he can hear me. We don't argue any of that. We know that he cannot hear you. Illa mashallah, we don't deny the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants somebody to hear, Allah will make it happen. But Allah himself said, the dalil that I am giving you is from the Quran itself, in the ayat of Surah Al-Fatir, which I recited for you yesterday. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says very clearly, two ayat in Surah Al-Fatir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَحْيَاءُ وَلَا الْأَمْوَاتِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُسْمِعُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. Not alike are the living and the dead. Verily Allah makes whom He wills to hear, but you cannot make those who are in their graves to hear. Now what is clearer than that? If somebody comes to me with anything other than the kalam of Allah, which is contradicting the kalam of Allah, then I will very respectfully say to him, Salaam alaikum, I'm not interested in listening to you. Because when my Rabb Jalla Jalalu has spoken, you are not my Rabb. So I don't care what interpretation you bring, from where you bring it, I do not accept it. I accept the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Naml, Allah said, إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى وَلَا تُسْمِعُ الصُّمَّ الدُّعَاءِ إِذَا وَلَّوْ مُدْبِرِينَ. Verily, you cannot make the dead to hear, nor can you make the deaf, those who are born deaf or who are rebellious to the call, to hear the call when they flee turning their backs. So this is very, very clear. We do not need anything more than this to convince us that death will come, and that we will face what we will face, and that depends on what we did in this life. I seriously, seriously advise you, stay clean. Stay on the straight and narrow path. Don't get distracted here and there by nice sounding philosophies. When there is the kalam of Allah, and it is absolutely clear, we do not need anyone's explanation and interpretation of that. Rasulullah ﷺ is the best interpreter of the Quran. And Rasulullah ﷺ did not tell anybody to go stand at a grave and ask the one in the grave to do this or that, including make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the famous hadith of Bukhari, where in the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, there was a drought. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu took the people out of Medina to pray Salatul Istisqa, the prayer for rain. And in after the prayer, he called upon Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of Rasulullah, and he announced to the people and he said, while Rasulullah was among us, we used to ask him to make dua for salah, for rain. Now that Rasulullah is no longer among us, we ask the uncle, the am, the uncle of Rasulullah to make dua for rain. I don't need to tell you that both the uncle and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu and every single person in that gathering knew where the grave of Rasulullah ﷺ was. They did not go and stand at the grave and ask Rasulullah ﷺ to make dua for rain. Rasulullah ﷺ said, follow me and follow the Khulafa al-Rashidun. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is a Khalifa Rashida. Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib is from the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah ﷺ. He is the family of Rasulullah ﷺ. If those two did not stand at the grave and say, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua for rain because you are alive in your khabar and you can hear us, they did not say this. So we do not say this. Is Rasulullah ﷺ alive in his khabar? Of course he is alive in his khabar. As I mentioned, everybody is alive in their khubur. The prophets have a special place. They are alive and they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their khubur, which is not given to us. Can Rasulullah ﷺ hear us? Wallahu alam. We know that our durood and salam is taken to him and he hears it and he responds and he replies. We know that our amal, our actions are shown to him and he makes dua for us, for our forgiveness. And he says, Alhamdulillah, if we have done something good. How do you know this? Because he told us. Beyond this, when we go and stand at the Rawda and we say, Assalamu alaikum ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does he hear us? Yes, inshallah. But beyond this, wallahu alam, Allah knows best. And it is the biggest sin to say about Allah that which we do not know. So we do not daraz our tongue, we do not extend our tongue, and we do not say that which we do not know. And please understand this very clearly. And do not fall into this trap of so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. Whoever said that was not the Nabi. Whoever said that is not Allah. So when Allah said something on a subject, and His Nabi Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said something on a subject, and you have a third person who said something on that same subject, who do you believe? You believe Allah and you believe Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because that is the essence of Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Rasulullah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So we come to the questions of the grave. And these are the questions for which we must prepare. And these are the questions, why must we prepare for them? Because these are the questions which will decide what will happen to us for the rest of eternity. Questions which we cannot answer except by believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and living Islam. Questions which we can only answer if we practiced those things, not by memorizing the answers. If I did not believe in Allah and I did not live by Islam, then I will not be able to answer the questions of the Qabr. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that the only intelligent thing to do, if we truly believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment, and if we truly believe that we are going to die, is to prepare for that day when we will be called to Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that the best day of our lives. But I remind you that you and I need to help the dua by making changes in our belief and our behavior and our life and our lifestyle. Dua plus dawa is the way of Islam and the only logical and intelligent thing to do. In Islam, if we make a dua and we do not act according to that dua, then this is a sign of ignorance or worse still, hypocrisy. A man came to Rasulullah and he said, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua for me that I should be your companion in Jannah. Rasulullah said, I will make the dua, but you help me with your actions. Does the dua of the Nabi need help? No. He could have said, yes, I will do dua for you. No. He is teaching us. He is teaching us the method and the system and the principle in Islam, which is that simply making dua and doing nothing means that you do not really want what you say you want. Because if you want what you say you want, then you should be working for it. So we do the work and then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, because we know that our work without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot succeed. So therefore we work because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the principle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to work. So we work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Allah said, there is nothing for a human being except what he works for. So we work. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we work with the intention, and we should do that, if we work with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we work with the intention that we are working in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's instruction and order, then inshallah we also get rewarded for that work. So we get the result of the work and we also get a reward in the akhirah for the work. Alhamdulillah, therefore we should work. But not simply sit and make dua. If simply sitting and making dua was the way, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not have fought at Badr. Then he would not have fought at Uhud. There is no dua more powerful than the dua of the Nabi alayhi salam, and it is my aqeedah and my belief that if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had simply sat in Masjid al-Nabawi or in his blessed house and he had raised his hands and said, Ya Allah, defeat those people, Allah would have done it. He didn't need to go. He did not need to get injured. He did not need to bleed. He did not need to suffer pain. He did not need to go to Badr and you know, make all the arrangements and whatnot. And then he did not need to stand there and say, Oh Allah, give us help. help us to win this battle, because if we die, if these people die, there will be no one to worship you on the face of the earth. Why could that dua not be made in Medina, in Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif? Why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have to go to Badr to make that dua? Because he's teaching us the meaning and tafsir of the ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sta'inu bisabri wassala inna Allah ma'a sabirin. Allah did not say, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sta'inu bisala. He did not even say, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sta'inu bisalati wassabr. He said, bisabri wassala. O you believe, take the help of patience, of perseverance, of steadfastness, of doing the best that you can do in the circumstances, and then make salah, make dua, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beg Him, plead with Him, supplicate with Him. So that you do not become arrogant and believe that you are a so-called self-made man. That's the most stupid statement in the English language, self-made man. No such thing. Self-made woman, no such thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who decides. So we make effort and then we make dua because we know that our effort without the help of Allah is worthless. This is our aqidah, this is what we believe in. So we make the effort. So to answer the questions of the grave, our life has to be lived according to Islam. So we need to make the effort and we need to then, so that when we die, we will be able to answer those questions. Now, first questions. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَيَأْتِيهِ مَلَكَانِ فَيُجْلِسَانِهِ فَيَقُولَانِ لَهُ مَنْ رَبُّكَ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. He asked Allah to make this happen. فَيَقُولَانِ لَهُ مَا دِينُكَ فَيَقُولُ دِينِي الْإِسْلَامِ فَيَقُولَانِ لَهُ مَا هَذَا الرَّجُلُ الَّذِي بُعْثَ فِيكُمْ قال فيقول هو رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيقولان وما يدريك فيقول قرأت كتاب الله فآمنت به وصدقت. Two angels will come to him and they will make him sit up and ask him, who is your Rabb? He will reply, my Rabb is Allah. They will ask him, what is your religion? He will reply, my religion is Islam. They will ask him, what is your opinion about the man who was sent on a mission among you? He will reply, he is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will ask him, how do you know this? Who made you aware of this? He will reply, I read Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book and believed in it and consider it to be true. My brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decree and grant and help us to answer these questions correctly. So four questions. First one, who is your Rabb? Man Rabbuk. Please understand this very clearly. The question is not Wama Rabbul Alameen. They are not saying, who is the creator? They are not saying, who is your creator? They are not saying, who is the creator of the universe? No. They are saying, who is your Rabb? The question is not a question seeking information. The question is a question asking about a relationship. And that relationship is the relationship between the Abd and his Rabb. So what is our relationship? Do we know about Allah? Or do we know Allah? Yeah? Which one? Or neither. We neither know about Allah, nor do we know Allah. The time to change is when? Now. Right now. We will be able to give the right answer, Rabbi Allah, my Rabb is Allah, only if we lived by that creed. What is the meaning of living by the creed of Rabbi Allah? It means that we worship nobody but Allah. We ask for help from nobody but Allah. La ilaha illallah. La nafi wa la darra illallah. La nas'aluka illallah. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. There is no one who can benefit or harm except Allah. There is no one we ask except Allah. La nasta'ina illallah. There is no one who can give us isti'ana, who can give us help except Allah. So, to worship nobody but Allah. To ask for help from nobody but Allah. To fulfill all the fara'id that Allah has made fard on us. Whatever is compulsory, whatever is incumbent upon us, to fulfill that. What are those? The five pillars of Islam. Ash-shahada, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. To believe that, to say that, and to live by that. Number two, salah. And where possible, by jama'ah, in the masjid. The fard salah. There is no ibadah, there is no worship in Islam that is superior to the fard salah at its time. Nothing. The number one ibadah, number one act of worship in Islam is the fard salah at its time. Number three, zakat. To pay zakat, if we are liable to pay. Number four, fasting. In Ramadan, we are just coming to another week, and inshallah we will be in Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us Ramadan in good health and good spirits, and to enable us to fulfill fulfill what we get in Ramadan. And if you are listening to this lecture after Ramadan, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have granted all this to you, inshallah. So fasting. And the five is Hajj, where we, if we are able to do that, we do Hajj once in our lifetime. Fulfill all the fara'id. And to do more by means of nawafil. So with tahajjud and nawafil prayers and nawafil fasting and nawafil charity and so on. Number four, to seek to please Allah and never to displease Him. This is the essence of taqwa, to have taqwa. Please Allah and never displease Him. Number five, never to displease Allah while trying to please somebody else. Never to displease Allah while trying to please somebody else. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no virtue in disobeying Allah to obey somebody else. Number six, never to do what He prohibited. Never to indulge in haram. All that we eat, all that we earn, all that we spend must be strictly and clearly halal. Do not go into any areas of dispute. If there is a dispute, leave it. Leave that which is doubtful for that which is not doubtful. This is a beautiful hadith narrated by Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiyallahu anhuma, the grandson of Rasulullah. And he heard, and he is narrated from his grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, leave that which is doubtful for that which is not doubtful. Anything which is doubtful, leave it. Because it is whatever you eat and whatever is you earn, the quantum of it, the amount of it is decreed. It cannot increase, it cannot decrease by what you do. What can change is whether you go to Jannah or you go to Jahannam. Why do you want to go to Jahannam? Tell me. To get the same thing? Please, don't destroy yourself. And then to fulfill all our obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huququllah, whatever they might be. There's a whole series of my lectures on that. So please listen to them, and of course listen to wherever else you can find the list of the huquq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill them. So let us examine our lives and see how many of these things we are doing right now. And then let us make a list of those things which we need to correct. Because without that, we will not even get past the first base, which is the first question in the grave. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for you and me to obey Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, and to save us from anything which destroys our focus on Him and our desire to please Him, and which puts us into the hands of shaitan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from all of that. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika rahim.